Good morning and welcome to the ninth workshop on the philosophy of private law. I want to say just a very brief, make a very brief presentation, say a few words about this workshop and about Guadalupe and the book we are discussing today. This meeting began like a decade ago with the participation of two PhD students, and it's wonderful to see how this event, small event, what began as a small encounter between people interested in private law, grow into a consolidated forum for this kind of discussions. This year is particularly interesting or special for me because we're discussing Guadalupe's book. I know Guadalupe for a long time now. We met in 2009. I realized it was 17 years, and it's maybe it's quite a long time. And in all these years, we have been discussing, we have cultivated our mutual friendship, and it was always good to discuss with Guadalupe about tort law and punitive damages and all the issues that are interesting to us. And I think I know the book from its very beginning. When I met her, she was starting her master's studies at Yale Law School, and she was already working on punitive damages. What I think very interesting about the book is that it is not just a book about making room for punitive damages inside private law. It's a book that revises the fundamentals or the foundations of tort law in order to say that punitive damages are not exceptional. They have the function they're expressed, of the normative foundations of punitive damages has always been there in private law. And this is what makes it a book against the mainstream view in which punitive damages are exceptional or an anomaly that has to be explained, or even something that has to be reformed, has to be banned in private law practices. In order to discuss these issues, we have gathered an outstanding group of scholars that include, and I will mention them in the ordinary presentation, Peter Chow from the University of Hong Kong, then Sebastian Figueroa from the Autonomous University of Madrid, then Claudio Miguelon from the University of Edinburgh. He will be participating online for a last minute problem. He couldn't make the trip, so we adjust his presentation to not to miss the event, not to miss him also. And finally, it will be the workshop will be closed by Hadassah Norda from the University of Amsterdam. After each presentation, Guadalupe will give like a very short 10 minutes reply, and then we will open the floor for the general debate. And I think that's it. I want to thank you all for being here, especially the speakers and Guadalupe. And now before Peter's short conference, I ask Guadalupe to say a few words about the book, 10, 15 minutes, give us an overview to contextualize each presentation. So you can, I want to leave the chair. I'm going to allow Rodrigo Parra, who will be the chairman of the presentation. We changed now. And Peter, if you want, just to be prepared. But now Guadalupe will give us the overview. Thank you.
Okay, hello. Well, thank you so much, Diego, for the warm welcome and introduction. I also want to say thank you to Girona University for the generous support in hosting the workshop. And again, a special thanks to Diego for making this event possible. And as you said, for putting together such a stellar group of commentators. So I cannot be happier to be here today. It's always a pleasure to come to Girona, but it is even more special to be back for this particular occasion. So the last time I was in the Girona campus was 14 years ago, when I was actually a doctoral student in the midst of figuring out my doctoral thesis, which is actually the basis of Torts and Retribution. And so I must confess that while I was preparing these words, I felt a little emotional by looking back at my younger self at that particular moment of the process and in this same building. I think I was in this same classroom, actually, where the event was. So it was somehow a precious moment to be able to step back, to connect the dots and reflect on the path that led me to Torts and Retribution and to today. So I'm very happy to be here. So 14 years ago, I would have never imagined I would be discussing Torts and Retribution in Girona and in such a wonderful company. Diego, who, as you very well said, witnessed firsthand the initial development and further transformation of the original thesis on which Torts and Retribution is based, and who has never failed to provide encouragement, invaluable feedback, unconditional support, and most importantly, genuine friendship over the years. So thank you, Diego. Peter, Hadassah, Sebastian, and Claudio, wonderful colleagues who did not hesitate to undertake the generous task of reading the book and meaningfully engaging with my work today. And so I feel humbled and honored, and at the same time, extremely lucky to be able to count on your invaluable insights today. So thank you all for being here. It really means a lot to me. So in this brief overview, I will offer some backward-looking thoughts on my own understanding of the book and how it came into being. I will also offer some prospective thoughts on the book's potential ramifications beyond the law of torts. So, Torts and Retribution draws on over a decade of research that began during my doctoral studies at Yale Law School in 2011. At about that time, Argentina, my home country, became the first civil law jurisdiction in the world to introduce punitive damages in the realm of consumer protection law, mostly inspired by the American practice and experience with the institution. Punitive damages thus felt familiar to me and became a way of blending my previous civil law, legal background, and education with my recent and gradual exposition to American tort law and more broadly to the common law legal tradition. Punitive damages allowed me to build bridges and to foster constructive dialogue and understanding across legal jurisdictions. But that was only, I would say, the starting point. Without even noticing, I embarked on the challenging enterprise of figuring out the proper place of punishment and retribution in private law, on the difficult task of justifying the blurring of the traditionally stark lines between tort law and criminal law, and on the daunting exercise of fundamentally reassessing long-standing assumptions underlying the understanding of tort law as an exclusively private rectificatory mechanism. So through the lens of a widely recognized exceptional remedy, punitive damages, and by resorting to insights from the social sciences on human behavior, I found myself rediscovering the boundaries of tort law and the broader meaning and significance of tort victims. By conveying the enunciation of reprehensible wrongdoing and seeking affirmation of their own self-worth, tort victims, under my eyes, are no longer passive recipients of wrongful behavior seeking compensation, but instead active participants seeking moral dialogue and accountability through the legal system. Under this more holistic reading, tort law gained new significance, and the tort process became a site of social meaning, institutional legitimacy, and accountability, which is not only worth preserving in democratic societies, but also worth improving in its operation. So torts and retribution initial point of departure is the simple observation that many practical implementation issues concerning punitive damages, such as who should receive the award, how should awards amounts be regulated, should an elevated standard of proof apply to punitive damages decision making, and so on, cannot properly be addressed without first clarifying, specifying the fundamental theoretical justification of punitive damages awards. And so I note that courts in the Anglo-American tradition reflexively cite a dual purpose of punishment and deterrence when explaining the role of punitive damages without recognizing the tension and under-specification of that explanation. Scholars, in turn, have tended to focus only on compensatory and deterrence functions of damages awards, given the predominance of legal, economic, and corrective justice accounts of tort law more generally. And so torts and retribution articulates a justificatory account of the retributive character of punitive damages across legal jurisdictions grounded in the concept of relational retribution. The main argument boils down to the claim that retribution in torts is relational. The notion of relational retribution comfortably suits both the interpersonal structure of tort law and the proactive role traditionally allocated to the victim in tort litigation. And so by recognizing the interconnection between the defendant and the plaintiff, relational retribution offers a holistic account of retribution in torts, which acknowledges the necessary link between, on one hand, the reprehensible character of the defendant's conduct as deserving of punishment, and on the other, the rich correlative retributive motivations of the tort victim, who initially seeks the imposition of the punitive award for purposes of condemnation and value affirmation. In that way, relational retribution emphasizes the victim's demand for denunciation and value affirmation, moving beyond the conventional defendant-focused theories of punitive damages. The ultimate goal is reconciling torts and retribution in a manner that responds to both the relational significance of the role of the victim in expressing condemnation and the importance of maintaining institutional modes of moral communication to convey value affirmation between the private parties involved in a seriously disrespectful, tortuous situation. This framework embraces a cross-disciplinary approach combining legal theory with insights from empirical research and social cognition and psychology, and philosophical debates on retributive justice. And so drawing from cognitive and social psychology, I seek to understand the motivations that victims of serious wrongful conduct have for seeking not only compensation through a standard tort remedies, but also, at least in some circumstances, retributive justice through the imposition of a punitive award. My reading of the behavior and decision-making literatures suggests that moral outrage and betrayal aversion provide two especially powerful cognitive motivations for seeking to punish one's perceived wrongdoer, which have even been insufficiently attended, in my view, by scholars in their efforts to make sense of punitive damages practice. Conversely, scholars have overemphasized the utilitarian consequences of punitive damages, which empirical studies show play little role in individuals' beliefs regarding the deservedness of punishment. These findings elicit difficult questions on the desirability of making room for intuitive emotive reactions to wrongdoing in the classic rationalistic mold of legal reasoning. They also invite doubt over the widespread view that victims' motivations to sue, particularly their punitive or retributive motivations, are a suspiciously subjective factor that tort law should not consider, given their proximity to a desire for private revenge or retaliation, both of which are obviously considered morally objectionable bases for a normative justification for punitive damages. Most controversially, the research also defies the supposed monopoly of the state in administering and imposing punishment through criminal law and procedure. In addressing these concerns, I offer a decomposition of retributive responses in those that seek to address invasions of dignity and those that respond to violations of societal trust, mapping these two kinds of retributive responses onto egregious wrongdoing that occurs respectively within interpersonal context and within mass market context. In terms of the book, and to conclude, but in terms of the book's potential ramifications beyond the law of torts, torts of retribution seeks to elicit, I would say, a much needed conversation on whether other areas of the law may be enlisted as complementary mechanisms to channel condemnatory responses. Importantly, I think in times when new technologies are giving rise to new forms of significant wrongdoing and discrete types of intangible harm, torts and retribution extends an invitation to legal scholars more broadly. For instance, consumer law, antitrust law, privacy law, anti-discrimination law, and regulatory law are especially pertinent when it comes to exploring the rich potential of tort law and the tort process as a complementary mechanism to address the current challenges posed by artificial intelligence to citizens' safety, privacy, dignity, and psychological integrity. All these fields have, in my view, a significant place in this conversation. But for that conversation to begin, we must first overcome the theoretical boundaries that keep them separated. Hopefully, torts and retribution will contribute not only to rethinking the confines of tort law, but also to reconceptualizing tort law and the tort process as an integral part of the broader social context in which it operates. Thank you very much for your attention. I'm very excited to be here today. I'm very much looking forward to hearing your comments and to our conversation. Thank you so much.